from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, but FP's in for Dibs. Although today is Dibs' birthday, happy birthday to Dan Dibley. You should tweet him or DM him repeatedly. He would love that. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Our next guest will be David Lombardi in 1 hour, The Athletic, all over the 49ers. And we'll get back to that, but we're sitting here in the wake of the Giants' 6-0 victory, which a birdie tells me Logan Webb did 7 2/3 shutout innings while not feeling well. So add another brick on the wall of awesomeness for Logan Webb as far as I'm concerned. But the Giants win, they're back to 500. That's not good enough, but yes, says Bo Mel, it was a must win.
It really was kind of a must-win for us. So those are the guys you want on the mound in those type of games, and he came as advertised.
All right, so they get that win, but I don't know how you couldn't walk away from this homestand, all told, pretty frustrated with where the Giants sit. 3-4 on the homestand, you know, the extra innings losses, the Luciano demotion, the lack of identity, the Robbie Ray start last night. What on God's green earth was that? What the hell was that?
Snowball fight.
I mean, five runs on one hit?
He looked like he was trying too hard. Like he was just like going to throw a million and it wasn't coming out, wasn't going where he wanted it. You can't put free runners on against a team like the Braves. So he hit two guys and then walked two guys and then one went in the water. And then that was it.
That was the end
of the
game.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah. So
I like Robbie Ray. I don't think he's scared. I just think the last thing to come back when you have that Tommy John surgery is command.
Well, he's had two. How many starts has he had? Probably five?
Yeah, we talked about fearless. He's fearless.
The first one looked exactly like that. He did the same thing in the first inning in L.A.
Yeah.
But then he threw like four more no-hit innings. That was a weird game.
Yeah, I want him to stick around.
I think that he will.
Even though he wasn't great last night. Anything far from it.
He's not going to opt out and get more than $25 million.
No, I'm a fan.
And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong. Grandy, will you check on this? If Robbie opts in, he's opting in for two more. Is that accurate?
I'm pretty sure. Let me check for you.
Yeah. He's opting in for two more years if he opts in. He's got a player opt this year, but then if he takes it, that's two more seasons as a Giant.
All right.
After this one.
I'm okay with that.
So am I. Remember, we got a very small sample. But yeah, Robbie Ray's that's a big boy. Won a Cy Young.
You want to know something about him that you can't unsee it once I tell you this, and it was told to me by somebody that I shall remain nameless?
I'm contractually obligated to say yes.
Look at his left arm. It's way bigger than his right arm. It's huge, dude. It's like Popeye over here.
Wait a minute. Do you mean like strength-wise yeah. or like it's longer?
Size. Oh. It's like guns ablaze in his left arm and then his right arm is smaller. And it's like, it's very noticeable.
Why did he do that? How does he lift weights? One-handed?
Tommy John, you're rehabbing.
Understood.
Your arm, your throwing arm. So you're probably working that more than your right arm. And it's just like huge. He's jacked.
He's got a little wet noodle on the other side.
You can't see it. I'm not gonna divulge my sources.
I never noticed it.
Yeah, it's big. His left arm is huge.
Well, usually when we see him, if you look at the camera from behind the mound, yeah. he doesn't stand totally straight with his windup. So all you see is the left arm.
It's pretty common with Tommy John guys when they come back, but not. I mean, this is whoa.
It's like out of control.
Jack, 20-inch bicep over here and like 16 on the other side.
I'm gonna look at pictures now. Anyway, let's go to the phones. And again, the question: are you rooting right now for the Giants to go on a run and make the playoffs, or are you rooting for them to struggle? That would potentially lead to change. Bunch of texts on the Xfinity Mobile text line: 650. Make the playoffs. You play to win the game. 925, I can't root against, but I've also lost interest completely. A change would change that for sure. 510, even if we lose, there might be no changes, so go Giants always. 650, lifelong Giants fan, but sadly, I wouldn't mind watching them lose the rest of the season if it expedites Farhan's exit. You're getting a lot of answers on both sides. Ron in Pleasant Hill. Hi, Ron. You're on with Willard and FP. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So I would say if they made the playoffs, I would say yay. I wouldn't say yeah. Ooh. I'd say yay.
Yay.
All right? Because it's 3/4 of the season have gone by, and they've barely hit 500. And so if they make the playoffs, what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. I would say yes to both. I would say yes to the playoffs and yes to changes.
Can I understand that? But I also can I share a very brief story with you? You sound like you've been a Giants fan for a long time. Yes.
I saw Willie Mays play.
Okay, so that's a long time. I'm sure you remember the Giants series against the Cincinnati Reds in, that was the 2012 season, right?
The Buster Posey home run?
Yes, the Grand Slam. Yeah. 2012. And I had a conversation with my dad. The Giants are down 0-2 in Cincinnati. And I said, you know what? What a great season. They made the playoffs. All I ever wanted as a Giants fan was to see them win the World Series. And Dad, they just did it 2 years ago. It's not like they were going to come out and win the World Series again. 2 times in 3 years, ludicrous thought. Bravo, you tried, you made the playoffs, good for you. Too bad it didn't work out this time. And you know what happened next. So like when you say if what would happen if they make the playoffs, my answer is you don't know.
You don't know.
And I'd argue this year more than in other years, you legitimately could say, dude, if somebody's going to huck Webb, Snell, and Ray at you in the playoffs, if I were one of the big boys in the National League, that would terrify me. Don't you? Come on, Ron. You see that, don't you?
Okay. So I have a question for you now.
Sure.
You brought that all up?
Yeah.
Name me 3 offensive players that you really think would do really well in the playoffs.
None. None.
And when you look back on that 2012 team, how many offensive players would you say?
Like 1.5.
They had.
Honest now. I know they had some hitters, but at the same time, we called them torture because they didn't score runs.
That was 2010.
Hey, this is math now. This is real. This is a fact. This is not an opinion. This team scores more runs per game than the 2012 team.
They do, but they don't play situational baseball. And the 2012 team got runners over. They got runners in. They fought with 2 strikes. They fouled balls off. They were a pain in the ass at the plate.
You're 100% right.
They were pesky. They were clutch.
They had the league MVP.
And they had the league MVP.
Understood. That's why I said 1.5.
And they had Hunter Pence in the dugout.
And Pablo Sandoval and Marco Scudero.
Right. Right.
And then Cody Ross in 2010.
Marco Scudero. Yeah. Like, he was like, oh my God, I'm terrified.
Couldn't get him out in the postseason.
Marco Scudero's like, at the plate.
It's not runs per game. It's when you score the runs. It's how you score the runs and you manufacture runs. And that's what's missing from this team. And in baseball in general, it's not just the Giants. It's just a league-wide thing where it's not situational, stick your nose in the dirt, battle your you-know-what off, and get a base hit. Or put a ball in play with two strikes with runners on first and third, nobody out. Those Giants teams, the one thing that comes to my mind is obviously pitching, right? And then yep. They were scrappy. They fought. You're like, who is this guy? He fouls off seven pitches. And a guy you never heard of, a scrawny dude, and hits a base hit the right. And then Buster Posey, one of the best players to ever don the orange and black.
Hall of Famer.
Made two strike adjustments and hit things to right field with two strikes. You know, two for himself, trying to go deep, drive a ball, do some damage, and then he would shorten up and go the other way.
I'm not arguing that this team is even holds a candle to 2012. That's not what I'm saying.
If they get hot but and win nine in a row to get in the playoffs.
My point is that he asked, how many current hitters on the team would I have confidence in? The answer is none. But sports is not about what I think is going to happen. It's about what does happen. There are plenty of things that have happened in sports that I didn't think were going to happen. And I brought up 2012 because at a certain point, once the playoffs started, I thought the Giants were done. It turns out they went on to win the World Series. They rallied and won three in a row in Cincinnati. And then they went out there and did it again. It looked like they were cooked in the next series against St. Louis. And then Barry Zito made $125 million for one start. And we loved it. And parade. So that's all I'm saying. And my brain will never not work that way. While so many of you are very comfortable with the Warrior dynasty is over and Kyle Shanahan always messes up in the Super Bowl and the Giants are trash and it's over. You're comfortable that way. I'm not. My brain refuses to do that. So when you ask the question, what would they do if they got there? I don't know. I would love to see it.
One of my favorite. Did you watch Ted Lasso?
No.
One of my favorite episodes ever is when Roy Kent, who is a star soccer player at the end of his career, retires and he goes into broadcasting. He's doing the pregame show, and all these pundits are on this set. You know the soccer sets? They got like five people on them. It's my favorite show. It's super positive, super uplifting about how life can be if you look at it a certain way. And he's on the set, and it's like one of his second or third shows, and he goes, everyone's predicting what's going to happen. He goes, you don't know what's going to happen, and you're sitting here acting like you do, and you don't know what's going to happen, and you're sitting here acting like you do. I've been doing this my whole life. I don't know what's going to happen. This is ass, and he walks off the set. And I'm like, that is perfect. Because none of us really do know what's going to happen.
Of course not.
We have our opinions. It's fun to talk about. You know, the street corner in the Dominican Republic, when they talk about baseball all day, or Cuba, and they're passionate about it. That's what I love about sports talk radio. You be passionate about something and predict what's going to happen. None of us know what's going
to
happen.
No, you got it. Like, you got to throw out predictions, but this is the way I like to look at it. And then you got to sit down and be open-minded to where you might be wrong. I mean, sports would be so boring if not for that. That's why I always push back against dismissive points. You can feel, for instance, that the Giants season is going nowhere. I feel that way right now, but I refuse to say it's done. It's over. They suck. I won't do that.
Well,
I can be frustrated. I can think it's going that way. I make fun of Dibs about this all the time. He knows this. Happy birthday, Dibs. But he's the one who sent our show thread, the text, in 2022, in February. Warriors had a bad night against Detroit or something like that. It's laughable that these people think this is a championship contending team. They are not winning anything this year. Oh, but then he did the show with me at the parade with all the stuff flying out of the sky.
What were the responses to that? You just go, oh, that's Dibs being Dibs, and nobody responded in the chain?
No, I shot fired all over the place. This is how you would talk about the Warriors keeping receipts. This is how much of a jerk I am.
I keep receipts too.
The Warriors win game six against Boston. I waited. I didn't say anything. All year long. And I waited. And the second that the Warriors won that game six, I remember I went into my room and I pulled out the phone and I scrolled through our and I started screenshotting all the times that everyone on the show thread was like, they're done, this is stupid.
You're petty and I love it.
I screenshotted all of them and without comment, I just sent them to the thread. Boop. Good night.
That's awesome. That's something I would absolutely do.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the game. Yeah, because and again, that's it's totally fine to do that. That's being a fan. But I push back on the dismissive. It's over when it's not. Right.
It's over when there's, I don't know, an X by your name in the standings or whatever it is.
Even the phraseology I used. Halftime Detroit and the Niners, NFC title game. Me and the boys are watching over it at the lovely Christie's house, and my daughter wanted to get some thing done at home, and she goes, I got some laundry to do and whatnot. Will you come pick me up at halftime, and I'll watch the second half with you. I go home, pick her up, and she gets in the car. She's like, what is happening? I'm like, well, they're down to 17 points, and we probably need to start reckoning with the idea that the Niners aren't going to the Super Bowl this year. And she looks at me and goes, Dad, no, we are not thinking that way. They are going to come back and win this football game. And I went, you know what? My bad. I didn't even say they're done. I just said, we might want to start thinking about it. Might want to open up the idea that they're not going to win this football game.
You were conceding the putt.
And she fired on me. And then after every single touchdown, as the Niners scored, how many unanswered points they scored? 27 or something like that? After every score, she looked at me, yeah, see? So, I don't like that stuff.
My dad's a lifelong Lions fan. He said at halftime, they'll find a way to screw this up.
I don't think there was a Lions fan out there that counted chickens. They've been so battered and beaten. But I just, that's me. I don't like that stuff. I don't like calling it over when it's not over, because that's the beauty of sports, man. That's what we live for, is the amazing stories that unfold when we think it's going to go a certain way and it goes the opposite.
Yeah, but I think Giants fans are some of the smartest fans. Niner fans, Warrior fans, this area has some of the smartest fans, period, because we've all experienced being at the top of the mountain, whether we're a Warriors fan with their championships, the Niners, and the Giants. And we've all had that feeling that this could go in a certain direction by this time, right? Late August, wouldn't you start having that feeling like this is it's happening?
You would
like
think.
I used to say on the broadcast,
you would think.
It's happening, folks. Enjoy the ride. That was one of my taglines. It's happening. Because a lot of times we're so worried about the destination that we forget to enjoy the ride. And I would say, enjoy the ride, folks. It's happening. And I would say it like when there's a special moment in the game. And as a broadcaster or as a fan, or you can sense when it's happening. And I haven't had that sense that it's happening yet with this team. Like, not to get too deep, but we as fans have been there. We know what it feels like. In 2010, we knew by now, we're catching the Padres. Something special is kind of going on right here. I know it happened more in September.
That was September.
I know it happened more in September. But you could tell that this team had something going on that year in 12.
And the Padres helped.
And I've been around a lot of teams where you just kind of, by the end of August, you knew that it was heading in that direction. It had a feeling. Enjoy this. This is it's happening right now. I mean, they won three in a row, and I was starting to think, is this where it's going to start happening? And it just hasn't happened yet. I mean, I haven't had that feeling. I don't know if Giants fans, I'm sure most Giants fans haven't had that feeling yet this year.
No, and what's really hard to wrap your head around, if you do want to get mathematical and analytical about it, is we've all known the Giants need to go on a heater. I mean, like a real heater. And it felt like maybe it's about to happen. But we all kind of had one eyebrow up because it was happening against bad teams. But the data was the data. What was it? It was like 11 out of 14, or whatever. And you got three games above 500. And that's why this series is such a big bucket of cold water. You lost one against Detroit, fine. That's baseball. But this series
should have won that.
Was a huge bucket of water on the idea of going on a heater. And now you still need another heater at some point. And if you look at who's on the schedule the rest of the way, it's really difficult to imagine the Giants going hot knife through butter at any point in the remaining schedule. It's really hard to imagine.
So Oakland this weekend, and the White Sox come to town. Then Seattle's playing great baseball. You go to Seattle. Milwaukee is a first-place team. You go to Milwaukee. Got a little breath of fresh air with the Marlins. And then it's Diamondbacks, Padres, Brewers, Padres, Orioles. Royals, who are playing really good. Diamondbacks, Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Yeah.
There's not a break in there.
No.
When you get to September 3rd, that's it. It's a winning baseball team on the other end every single night for the rest of the way.
The positive take on this is if you do get hot and you do beat those teams, everyone's taking notice and you're playing hot going into the playoffs against beating good teams. Is that going to happen?
Oof. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It doesn't seem like it right now.
We got 40 games left? Is that right? Are we 61-61? Is that their record? 62-62. All right, 38 games left. Probably got to win. Probably got to go to what, 24-14? At least 23-15. That's at the absolute bare minimum, which would get you 85 wins.
31 of those are against really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
31.
Out of the.
What did you just say?
38.
Yeah, 31 are against really good teams.
Yeah.
Mostly first place teams or playoff teams.
Well, I mean, you got three against Chicago, two against Oakland, and three against the Marlins. So that's eight. All right, so 30. Yeah, 30 of 38.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Cardinals and Mariners are really good, but they're good. They're viable. So, yeah, that's all. It's when you watch sports, are you open-minded to what you can't see? I can't see the Giants going 24-14 with that schedule. It doesn't mean it won't happen.
It doesn't mean it won't happen. It doesn't feel like it could happen right now.
It does not feel like it.
It does not feel like it.
No, they strike out too much.
That's everybody, though. Just watch other teams. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, but there's one thing about striking out, and it's something else about striking out in every situational need-a-batted-ball-right-here type of a play. That's what it feels like to me. When the Giants have a runner at third and less than two outs, or if they've got first and second and nobody out. Like, it feels like it's a strikeout 88% of the time.
You want me to break this down?
Break it down.
I broke it down yesterday with bunting.
Let's see.
If you don't practice bunting, every fan thinks bunting's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy if you practice it. Oh, the ball only goes 10 feet. Why can't he bunt? He's a big leaguer. He should be able to bunt. I got in a friendly argument with one of my friends about Austin Slater bunting in extra innings. He couldn't get it down. He's like, he's a leadoff hitter. He runs. He should be able to bunt. It's the big leagues. How come he doesn't know how to bunt? Well, he hasn't practiced it. It's not part of their game. So, I mean, all of a sudden, like with the Giants, if you don't have a two-strike approach and you never have a two-strike approach and it's not really ingrained in you as a minor leaguer, it's not part of your organizational philosophy, and now you got runners at the corners with one out, or a runner on third less than two out, and you got to put a ball in play, where you don't have a two-strike. You can't just like invent a two-strike approach in the middle of an at-bat if you've never had a two-strike approach in your life. You can't just bunt a 98-mile-an-hour fastball perfectly down the third baseline to get a runner to third base if you've never practiced it. So now we're saying, hey, there's certain times in the game when you have to have a two-strike approach in August, and you haven't had a two-strike approach all year. You just don't pull that out of your hat for radio purposes. You don't. It's, I'm going to spread out and choke up now and put, but I don't know what that even means. Right. I don't even have a two-strike stance. And a two-strike, it's not necessarily a stance with two strikes. It's just it's a mindset. You're not going to beat me. I'm putting the ball in play. I'm going to expand my strike zone a little bit, not too much, but a little bit. And I'm not going to let the umpire determine this at bat. And I'm going to stick my nose in the dirt and find a way to put the ball in play. But if you've never done that, it's never even an A ball or double A. We don't talk about two-strike approach. And now we're all flipping out because the Giants strike out a lot with runners at third base and less than two outs. It's just like anything else in life. If you don't practice it, you're not going to be good at it. And if you've never done it, I can't expect Michael Conforto to lay down a bunt when he hasn't bunted his whole career. And you're like, he's a big leaguer, snort a bunt. Maybe.
No.
But if it's not part of the game, it's not part of his arsenal. It's like asking a pitcher to throw 100 that throws 92. Why did he throw 100 right there? Well, he can't, and he doesn't. He just doesn't. So I get the most frustrated I get as a baseball fan right now, and I'm going to sound 104 years old, is like striking out used to be the worst thing you could possibly be. Dragging your bat back to the dugout, that was the ultimate defeat. He beat you, and we used to fight it, and I used to fight it, and I couldn't strike out, or I was going back to the minor leagues. And I honestly believe in no two-strike approach with nobody on. You're a power hitter. I don't want you to take anything out of your swing. But there has to be some sort of round in BP that's a two-strike round where you choke up, spread out, and you just play that mental game in your head in batting practice every day. I'm letting the ball get deep. I'm going the other way. I'm not going to strike out.
888-957-9570. We're taking phone calls. David Lombardi is going to join us in a half hour. There's an interesting note out of Niners camp. That we haven't talked about yet. So we'll do that coming up next. FP's in for Dibs. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Just gave me chills.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, but FP's in for your Dibs. Happy birthday, Dibs. FP's here. Giants win 6-0. I'll pay this off right now, and then we can get to it a little bit later. But Brandon Ayuk was at camp again today, and again, engaged from the sideline and having conversations with Deebo Samuel right as practice came to an end. That, according to reports, David Lombardi joins us in 26 minutes.
He was also seen at a Starbucks with George Kittle. And who cares?
Order the latte.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well,
I want him to sign.
Yeah.
I want him to be a Niner, but I don't care about all this anymore.
He will be.
Is anybody out there like freaking out about? I'm not freaking out about this. Yes. He's going to be a Niner.
No, like lots of people are freaking out about it. Yeah.
You can't control it. Why are you worried about things you can't control?
Twitter has said he was going to be a Steeler for 2 weeks. That's why.
Stay off Twitter.
Well, that's one.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah, that's one solution. But yes, this is not a sourced report. This is a gut feeling based on, conversations around the game and the industry. I feel very, very confident as we sit here today on August 15th that Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams will play week one in 49er uniforms. Very confident.
Is there like a rehab clinic for addiction to social media and your phone?
If you find it, I'll go with you.
And I'm serious. I always am going to Instagram. I'm always going to Twitter.
You do it at a stoplight?
I do it at a stoplight all the time.
I hate that.
I do it on the
I hate that.
I do it on the crapper in the morning. I do it at a stoplight. Well, it's like I pick it up mid-segment and I'm looking.
Fine. People have been reading.
It's a habit.
Reading in the bathroom for generations.
It's a bad habit.
It's a very bad habit.
It's terrible. And there's some sort of dopamine hit you get from looking at how many people liked your story or what's going on here. And I need to clean it up. I'm admitting this out loud on this station.
I love
that
it.
I need help.
I'm with you.
That's half the battle, right?
There's a TED Talk. I show this to the communications class I do over at Academy of Art. There's a TED Talk about this. I'll send it to you.
It's a nervous habit too, and I pick it up and and I don't even care what's on there.
It's amazing to me as we talk about social media and teen mental health and everything going on in 2024. It's amazing to me that people don't talk about the phone and social media more in terms of addiction. Like, yes, you'll hear people go, "Oh God, social media, especially for teens and kids, it's so hard. It's really tough." And I understand people thinking that it's some sort of necessary evil, and you're certainly not going to take people's phones away. But like addiction, like it has all the signs.
I'm FP Santangelo, and I'm addicted to my phone.
Good for you. Good for you.
Seriously, I was Copenhagen for 24 years, and then I quit that the day I retired.
And did you really? For 24 years you did that?
From 14 to the day I retired.
That's one of those that never, like, it looks so unappealing.
Ugh.
I've never even thought about, what is it? What does it do for you?
I don't know. I just want to be like Chili Davis.
Okay.
And Chili had a big dip in all the time, and I was a Giants fan growing up. And when I was in eighth grade, I tried Kodiak, and then Kodiak went to Skoll, and Skoll went to Copenhagen, and then Copenhagen went to a can a day, and then when I got to the big leagues, it was free. There was rolls of Copenhagen in my locker. So I had a can in my back pocket during the game, a can in my car, a can in my house, three open cans at once.
But other than feeling like a big leaguer, why'd you switch?
It's nicotine. You get addicted to nicotine. And then when I quit, I promised the family the day I quit, I'd quit. I did the whole patch thing and was shaking and shivering and sweating at night. And hardest thing, literally like a drug addict.
Ugh.
It's gross.
Yeah. It looks gross.
That's
the one thing
my
about
4-year-old son drank my spitter and that was it.
Oh God.
I had like a Mountain Dew can that was my spitter and he drank it and I was like, all right, that's it.
When we worked together, I never made fun of him for that because I didn't know that.
He drank my spitter.
That's so gross.
A 4-year-old kid. Like, I gotta stop this. This is ridiculous. And I put a lot of bad stuff in my body. Like, Google me. I put a lot of bad stuff in my body. That's the one thing I regret. Like, more than anything. There's other things. But
Sure.
That's the one where I'm always feeling my throat, wondering what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I quit. But now, I'm addicted to my phone. And social media. Well, I don't know if it's which one it is. Is it the phone? Is it social media?
Because
I really don't care if people text me or not. Like, I'm very responsive, as you know. I'm always hitting people back right away because I think rude if you don't.
Same.
If you leave somebody on red and you just get to them when you get to them, that's rude to me.
When you walk by your phone in the house, are you able to walk by it without touching it?
Pick me up now. It talks to me.
No, but do you touch it to see if anything's going on? Just little tap.
I just pick it up. I always pick it up.
You don't
want, and yeah. I have that find my phone thing on my Apple Watch that I hit the alarm all the time because I panic because it's not. I left my phone in my car today, and I was in my place, and I'm looking around. I'm like, where's it? And you get that sense of panic, like,
wow.
And it was like literally 10 steps in my car, and I freaked out. I know people are relating to this.
Of course they are. I actually think it's funny when you forget your phone somewhere. There's the fear of I lost my phone or I left my phone somewhere, which is terrifying. However, it also says something in the opposite, in that you were not so obsessed with it that you could leave it somewhere. I think that's funny. I drove home. This is when I was working at Fox down in L.A., like same thing I do on Sundays now, but like I was actually in the building.
Yeah.
It was a good solid 30 minute drive to where I lived. I drove and got 85% of the way home before I realized I had left my phone in the studio. Come to find out that the next show was doing an entire segment in terms of like, how the hell do you do that in 2020, whatever? How is it even possible to walk out of a room without your phone and then not realize it for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's weird.
You get in the car, you turn on the car where the car is going to connect directly to your phone, don't notice. Drive for a half hour and then go, oh my God, I think I left my phone at work. They were doing a whole segment on how's that even possible? That's like walking out without your shoes.
I don't even use the navigation that comes with my car. I use
phone.
Yeah, CarPlay. And so I know if my phone. Yeah, but I get that knot in my stomach and that cold feeling if you lost your phone. That's just horrible.
It's horrible.
So if there's anybody out there that knows somebody that I can call or talk to, I need help.
Well, of course there is.
It's a first step. I need help.
Of course there is.
I need help.
Yeah, of course you do. And of course there is.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
There's iPhone psychiatrists out there that can walk me through it?
Well, psychiatrists can walk you, I would think, through any addiction.
Psychologists, psychiatrists, I get them all mixed up.
We can have you committed. That's not a problem.
I know some
places.
I'll do shows with a straight jacket on.
I know some places.
I'm not afraid.
We got you. Hey, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society of San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Okay, David Lombardi's going to be on here in 20 minutes. And yes, Brandon Ayuk was at practice today. He didn't practice, but he was there. And sure, we'll ask him about all of it. But I really do, I want to center a lot of that conversation and a lot of where we're going from here in different spots. And it doesn't mean that Brandon's name can't come up. I'm not going to no moratorium on saying his name. But I just wonder how people are feeling about the start of the season and how this one story has kind of affected that. And I think what it's done is it's opened up the door for like some negativity. In other words, it feels like it's an omen. It feels like it's representative because we were already coming into this season going Super Bowl hangover. How do you climb the mountain again? Oh my God, there's a lot going on. This just doesn't feel good. And then we've been able to use the Brandon thing as like exhibit A. But to the point you've been trying to make for 2 days, if we're just completely focused on the wrong things, if Trent and Brandon are actually, at the end of the day, they're just kind of like, this is business as usual in August. There's people holding out, there's contracts. They always get it figured out. They will again. If you knew that in the back of your mind, if you could just forget those two guys, would you then be excited for the season?
I'm more concerned about McCaffrey's calf than that.
He can
be hurt. He's not allowed to be hurt.
He's not.
If CMC's hurt, we're in trouble.
He's not hurt.
Okay, good.
He could get hurt.
I just don't. I'm always very wary of camp injuries and spring training injuries because you start to play uphill and you start to play catch up the rest of the year. Like if you come in healthy and then you get dinged up in the season, okay. But if you start behind the eight ball hurt, then you always feel like you're playing catch up. And then that injury is always somewhere there and it's going to come out and say hi when you least expect it again. That's why the only day you're 100% healthy is the first day of camp.
Can I read you one sentence from our friend Nick Wagner on Twitter that might make you feel good?
Thanks.
He does a whole thing. Training camp day 16 observations, and then there's all these bullet points. Okay, here's one of them. Christian McCaffrey did an extensive workout on the side, doing some running and catching passes.
Okay.
Feel better?
How'd he come out of it, though? How's he going to feel tomorrow?
Oh, he's on IR. He's out for the year.
Stop. No, don't even say that.
No, I'm just
You can't even joke like that.
No.
That's like, not funny.
You better be careful.
Usually you're funny. That wasn't funny.
No, my point is...
My Christian cannot miss.
Christian's not hurt. Don't do it. Christian's not hurt. Christian is being very, and the 49ers are being incredibly cautious with their number one asset.
Did you hear Aaron Rodgers talking about how preseason football isn't real football and he has no desire to even participate? It's not. He's right. He's 100% right.
I've wondered this aloud, and I wonder, when is preseason football going away? I would argue that the framework's already in place.
But did you like the Pro Bowl? Play flag football.
Well, people will like defend the preseason, and I think the only reason they do that is because it's always been there, and they don't know any other way.
It's for kids to learn the system and for kids to show that they can play in the NFL.
There's no preseason in college football. They just walk out and play.
Yeah, they play like Alcorn State or something.
Yeah, but that's fine. Right. You play a cupcake, but you play, and it counts. And sometimes, especially as a Michigan guy, sometimes that game goes awry, doesn't it? Appalachian State.
Ooh.
Sometimes that game goes awry. So, like, why? Why do we need the preseason? I know coaches, oh, God, I got to evaluate, blah, blah, blah. You can do that in practice. You can do that. You do not need. And
you can scrimmage.
We know damn well the NFL is going to keep lopping games on top of this thing. They're not stopping at 17. Where do you think we went from four preseason games to three? Take one guess where we're going next.
It's money. They charge the same for tickets in the preseason than they do in the regular season.
They turn them into regular season.
It's all about the dollars.
Yeah. And what's more dollars, a preseason game or a regular season game? So turn them into a regular season game. I know they can't just do it overnight, collectively bargained, all of that stuff, but it's going to happen over time. We're not stopping at 17 games. Probably not stopping until we get to 20.
Michigan opens up with Fresno State at home. Then they play AR State. What's AR State?
I don't even know. Arkansas State.
And then. No, wait.
Conference showdown.
They open up with Fresno, then they play Texas. Then they play AR State.
AR State.
Where do you go to school?
When's
AR State?
The big conference showdown between Michigan and USC this year?
What's a GPA to get into AR State?
Lucas, you don't need to answer that.
Week three in the big house.
2-6 in high school, you get into AR State, I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble this college football season because the whole thing's just going to make me mad.
They're the Red Wolves of Arkansas State.
Oh, look out. Look out. They sound fierce. No, the whole thing's going to make me mad this year.
What?
Conference games between USC and Michigan. It's the stupidest thing ever.
Don't get me going.
Stupidest thing ever. And I don't.
And then for people that broadcast certain conferences, I'm hearing Dave Fleming, it's like, where am I going? What am I doing?
I'm sorry.
What conference is it now?
I'm sorry. Look at who you're looking at right now. I used to have a job at the Pac-12 Network.
Oh.
And now it doesn't exist anymore.
Is there still two teams?
Yes.
There's two teams left, right?
Can you name them? Can you name them?
Oregon State?
Yes.
And
thank you for adding State. Mark Grandy was about to come in here and pound you over the head.
I was about to leave.
Cal?
No.
Where'd Cal go? I should know this.
Cal Golden Bears are in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
How are they going to study?
How are they going to get
all their travel?
This is not going to, it can't stand. It won't stay. It doesn't make any sense. And we always look at it only through the eyes of football. Think of all the other sports. It's the stupidest thing that has ever happened in the history of ever in sports. It's absolutely absurd. And I don't get mad at the NCAA over it. I know we're totally on a tangent now. The Pac-12 ruined themselves.
ADD Radio is my favorite.
They ruined themselves.
Question, though.
Please.
I was you with the new rules in baseball. Then I saw them implemented with the clock and the disengagements, and I liked it. Well, I was old man, get off the lawn. That whole winter.
This is different.
You don't think you'll see like UCLA and Michigan in the regular season and go like, oh, that reminded me of the 1984 Rose Bowl.
They play already anyway out of conference sometimes. Like there was already enough. And this isn't about the Pac-12 network, and it's not even about like tradition and college football. This is about logistics. You like this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever that Stanford and Cal's road games are on Tobacco Road. That's absolutely absurd.
Terrible.
You're going to just travel across country every other week?
They got to fly commercial too?
I mean,
do they have their own planes?
That makes as much sense as Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers breaking up. That's why I've never believed it. It doesn't make any sense.
What conference is Fresno State in? Are they still the same?
Who knows? Sure. Mountain whack. Something. I don't know. Whatever.
The Mountain Whack Concert.
The Mountain Whack
Conference. I want to do that. I want to be in that.
Let's go.
On the Mountain Whack Concert.
I'm in the Big Mountain Whack.
I'm in the Mountain Whack Pack.
That's the name of my conference.
Mountain Whack Pack 4.
It's so stupid.
Were you guys saying something about how the Trent Williams and Ayuk thing, it doesn't actually matter?
That's Lucas trying to get us back on track.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
My bigger
director of sports.
My bigger question is, and actually, Lucas, you two in that other room should be the ones to answer this because you're the ones who have sort of dabbled with the idea of like not being excited about the season. And instead of excitement, there's like angst in some form, whether you want to call it nervousness. Like, what would you call it? What would you call it? You are blank about the season.
A wuss.
What's the emotion? What's the emotion that you want to put in there? You are blank about the season.
I'm nervous because this is the 49ers, over the next handful of years, their best chance to finally win the Super Bowl, and I'm nervous that if they don't get it done, it might not happen with this group of players.
All right, that's fair. Lucas, what emotion would you put in there?
Very, very, very cautiously optimistic. That's what I would
say. Why cautiously optimistic? Well, they've got all the good players.
They haven't done anything to give me confidence that they can get to the mountaintop.
E-Dog is eating a granola bar, but do you want to weigh in? Evan Giddings, ladies and gentlemen, what emotion would you put in there? You are blank about the 49ers season. He's thinking about it. He's got a furrowed brow.
Optimistic.
Optimistic. Okay.
I'm joyful.
Yeah, nobody said excited. Nobody said pumped.
I'm super excited.
Nobody said jacked.
I'm ready.
I'm fired up.
I wish it was week one tomorrow. I just want the games to get started.
Yeah.
The entire offseason has been worried about people not on a football field versus the guys actually on the football field.
August is always annoying in the NFL. August is always annoying.
Yeah.
It's long.
It doesn't count.
There's no fruit. Yeah, August is annoying.
I want Talanoa Hufanga's knee to get better and see him just blow somebody up whenever he gets back.
That'd be great.
I can't wait to see that again.
Also, what's the frustrating part of this is the Niners are dealing with all of the problems that Super Bowl champions have to deal with. All of the players on Super Bowl champions want to go get paid, and the Niners are dealing with that drama, but they haven't actually ever had the payoff of winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Which is frustrating.
That's an interesting take. That's fair. At the same time, I do think teams deal with this maybe more than we realize. Like, I mean, again, the Dallas Cowboys are dealing with it. The Cincinnati Bengals are dealing with it. The Jets went and traded for a guy who didn't show up and then requested another trade.
Don't compare us to the Cowboys. Always drama over there.
No, but I like
with Jerry Jones and who's coaching and who's playing quarterback. And
they like that.
Out.
They do that on purpose.
It's like a soap opera.
But that's part of my point with the 49ers this year.
Cheerleaders.
We think we're dealing with something special or different, and we're not. They're just the 49ers. The reason we're quote-unquote dealing with it is because the national attention will not quit. I think I said this to you yesterday. I said this earlier today, coffee with a friend. If you had told me at any other point in my life, at any other point, that in August, the best player on the Dallas Cowboys was A, not in camp, and B, getting into word wars on the computer with the owner of the team, and that somehow was not a story compared to the checks notes 11th best wide receiver in the game holding out from the 49ers. That's crazy. Why is Brandon Ayuk an international incident and CeeDee Lamb is a yawn and a shrug? How is that happening? It's because the 49ers have become a bigger deal than the Cowboys, and that's nuts. That's nuts. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about everywhere. They're a bigger deal than the Dallas Cowboys.
That's pretty cool.
The Niners are America's team. Fight me. Tell me how they're not. Did Netflix pick CeeDee Lamb? Nope.
It's because they're more relatable than the Cowboys.
Whatever the reason is.
Receivers help too with Kittle and Debo.
It is what it is.
You got a little 5'3" quarterback out of nowhere.
It is what it is.
It's great.
The finances of this, the name value of this, the expectations of this, the eyeballs to this, the fans that travel to this. Like, you're going to get mad at me and call me a homer for saying this. Some of you listeners, I'm talking about this from a data standpoint. The Niners are a bigger deal than the Dallas Cowboys. And I got evidence from the ceiling to the floor.
Yeah, because we take over every stadium on the road that we play in. Cowboy fans don't do that as much as they used to.
They do, but yeah.
They're pretty good.
Not as much as the Niners.
The playoff game last year, 2 years ago when they came here. There were a lot of Cowboy fans.
No, they travel.
It was
they
cool.
Travel.
They were cool, too, by the way. I know everybody.
It's because they're the underdogs.
They were cool. I met a lot of Cowboy fans in the green lot that day. We were partying together.
If they were -6.5,
I was like, good luck to you guys. They're like, good luck to you. It's like, yeah, that Southern hospitality is a real thing.
All right. Brandon was at practice. So was David Lombardi. He joins us next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. FP in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.